Well, let's go back to Rita in Los Angeles. She wowed us with a story about spiders in a cheek.
Yes, hi, George. Were you by any chance checking your face for spiders on the break?
Yeah, during the break, I rushed down the hallway to a mirror, right?
Right. All right, so then my second story is a ghost story, and I actually started to talk about this building before downtown with one of your former guests. I think his name was Buck Wolf. This is an amazing hotel. And it used to be where the movie stars celebrated after the Academy Awards. It's called the Alexandria.
The old after-hour parties.
Huh? Yeah, it had a wonderful history. It's 100 years old. At any rate, I know this gentleman that lives in that hotel because now there are regular apartments in there. And he got really upset at his buddy, and he said, these are young guys in their late 20s. He said, dude, you know, you kept me up all night long playing your radio so darn loud. And he said, what are you talking about? He said, I've been out of town. He said, check with your neighbor on the other side. So the guy goes to the other apartment on his other side of his door, and it's this adorable elderly lady. And he says, he more gently says the same thing to her. And her response is, oh, she said, no, that's not me. She said, the ghosts turn on my radio all the time. I have to keep turning it off. Yeah, so the hotel is really haunted. A lot of people died in a fire there, and just all kinds of creepy things go on in that hotel all the time.
I love it. All right, yeah. Thanks, Rita. It was worth keeping you on hold. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to the open line portion of Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Norrie. Let's go back to our Skype line now. Let's check that out in New York. Matthew's there. Let's see how it sounds. Matthew, go ahead. Well, it doesn't sound at all, does it, Matthew? Matthew?
I'm here, George. Can you hear me?
Yeah, there you are. Okay, loud and clear.
Great. I'm that now.
Well, maybe not loud and clear.
I'm Maurice Cotterell.
Yes, Maurice is a great guest.
Will you be having him on again soon?
Oh, probably in about a couple months or so. He should be coming back on again. Let's go to the Sleepwalker line now. Grover in Jackson, Michigan. You're up with us. Hey, Grover.
Well, hello.
Hey, what's going on? So you are a sleepwalker, huh?
No, not anymore. Thank you.
Good. What happened?
Well, I'm guessing betwixt, 14 and 18. It was almost an every night thing. I'd have my, my sword, and I'd be fighting the dragon, and then Dad would take the blade away from me and fight the sword away from me and fight the dragon and say, go back to bed. I got it taken care of. And unfortunately, I don't remember any one of those. however, I do kind of sort of remember one. I always hung my clothes up the night before when I went to school in high school. And my parents every night played euchre with their friends. And
yeah.
I took my clothes downstairs and was going to hang them on the line outside to let them dry. And my mom says, I'll take them out for you. Go on back to bed. And I just barely remember that. However, and I know I was awake and probably 6 or 8 or 10 maybe on different occasions, I'd see little gnomes running around on the floor. And they were probably 5, 6, 8 inches tall. And they were in color. They never said anything or anything, but fortunately I quit seeing them. Also, I had to be between 3 and 5. I had a friend in the closet, an older fellow, and I guess I always talked to him, and my parents never thought anything about it. And they always, every now and then when I was older, they'd say, do you remember talking to him in the closet? And I said, no. And then my dad called me here 2 or 3 months ago, and he was even breathing hard. He said, do you don't remember that? And I said, no. And apparently he had heard a program or was listening to one where this is a common thing with young children talking to.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I never thought anything of it.
I'm wondering if it's the same entity that does this. I wonder if it's actually real, the person in the closet. Mike's in San Diego, and you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi, Mike.
Hey, George. How you doing?
Okay.
Hey, I got a cool story for you and tell me what you think. I was working as a security guard downtown, and they moved me to this high rise. So the supervisor takes me around to the parking structure and, you know, shows me where these chips are, you know, where you sort of, you walk around, and that way they know that you did your rounds. So you have a little wand, and you just hit the chip.
You just, in the old days, it was like a key thing, right?
Yeah, right, right. Exactly. So anyway, so I'm doing that, and he shows me that for a couple of days. And then I do it, do the rounds on my own, and I do that for a couple of days. So, you know, I know where all the chips are. So the next night I go down there and, you know, doing my rounds, everything's fine. And I get to this one place, and I can't find the chip. So, you know, I'm going, well, this is really weird because I know exactly where it is. And I'm looking for it, and it's not there. So it's kind of by the elevator lobby, okay? So I'm walking around, you know, the parking structure looking for the chip. And I must have been in there for like 5 minutes going, you know, this is weird. So, you know, finally I'm like, okay, I got to keep going doing my rounds. I do finish my rounds. But when I get up to the lobby, I'm still kind of shaking my head, you know, going, God, it's really weird. I couldn't find that chip. Well, my supervisor's there and he sees me coming up. And without me saying anything, he's like, it's that chip, right? You couldn't find that chip. He knew exactly, you know, what had happened, you know, where, you know, what happened.
How did he know this?
Well, he just knew that because the same thing happened to him.
Ah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that one, it's really weird. It's that one chip. And, you know, I don't know. I worked there for a couple months after that. And, you know, I probably, you know, could find it, you know. But it was kind of threw me out of rhythm, you know what I'm saying? But it was really weird. It was really weird that one night it just wasn't there.
And who would have moved it?
No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't have gotten moved. There's no way.
It was permanent, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, permanent. Well, yeah. I mean, I suppose as a joke or something. I guess somebody could have moved the chip or something. I guess it's possible, but that would really
not a funny joke, though.
Well, no. I mean, I guess it would have been a really good practical joke, and you know, now that you mention it, it might have been exactly what happened, but it didn't kind of strike me like that, you know.
Yeah.
But hey, you know, you never know. Someone, you know, you might have pulled one over on me.
How do you feel as a security guard when they transfer you to a different place? Do you have like a favorite place you don't want to leave, and then all of a sudden they put you someplace else?
You know, I worked in that particular building. You know, I catch on to, you know, things really quickly. So I used to. I don't do that anymore. You know, that was my first high rise, and I get bored pretty quickly. Because I catch on so quickly, you know. So, and so
you like
after that, huh?
You like changing, I guess.
Yeah, after the novelty wears off, you know, it's kind of, you know, I get bored, you know.
Ever been scared on a security
team? You mean like creeped out, kind of
creeped
scared?
Creeped out, really? Yeah.
No, I really don't. I can't think of anything offhand like that. No.
All right, stay safe then, Mike. Thanks.
Yeah. All right. Take it easy.
All right. That's a tough job, being a security officer. It really is. Let's go to Scott, truck driving through Indiana right now as we speak. Go ahead, Scott.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Okay. How are things in Indiana?
Just driving on the back roads right now, getting ready to jump on the interstate.
Okay.
Wanting to know if you had any thoughts on 2012 evolution of, I know I was listening to some material, David Wilcock. You ever heard of him?
Oh, yeah. He's been on the show many times.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's all very interesting. And, I've always felt that when I heard that there were other people out there thinking the same thing.
I'm convinced 2012, this is me speaking, is going to be something celestial. I think the sun is going to do something. I don't know if we're going to get hit with an X flare or what. But I just think there's going to be some kind of solar event around that time period.
Right. I think it's real interesting. I appreciate your time.
Okay, Scott. The Mayans knew something. And, you know, Tuesday night when we were live from WOR in New York, Bob Gleason was there, who's written a book called 2012 Codex and Apocalypse 2012 as well. He thinks something major is going to happen. First time caller line. She's called Blue Eyes in Cincinnati, Ohio. Hi, Blue Eyes.
Hey, buddy. What's up,
girl? There you go. The old Sinatra was called Blue Eyes, too.
I've gotten that a lot, actually.
Yeah.
I think it's a with you. I am intrigued somewhat on what I had called in on is psychic abilities and tuning those. My mother was psychic and full-blown family secret, but when it comes down to it, it's passed on to me somehow, and I'm running into it more and more and more now that I'm single and alone. But I just wanted to get your thoughts on that, and maybe if you had any questions for me about it, that'd be great also.
Okay. Well, there's no doubt you get better as you get tuned in. I think everybody's got the ability, some people more than others. And, you know, the more you get involved in it and aware of it, I think it just keeps coming up in your day-to-day life all the time. And it sounds like that's what's happening to you now. It must be everywhere.
It is. It makes me, become like I have that ability to, I feel like emit some kind of thought or whatever. Like, I have no clue how to put it. It's like,
well, do you have these psychic abilities in your dream state or when?
Yes, that's where I get dreams and I can see like things very vivid, like, and it's like a person type of thing sometimes. But when I listen to whatever it is in my intuition, I'm usually correct about what I'm thinking, or it like shows me things by my thoughts. I don't know.
Do you see things that affect a lot of people or just in your own personal life?
I think both.
Are you?
But dreams, it's something else. But like the other night, I was at a birthday party and they got a kick out of me being able to tap into, say, a history of them and what the beyond wants them to know right in the here and the now. And it was just like I was just pulling it out, but they were like, oh my goodness, how do you know this stuff? And I was like, I don't know. I just sit and I listen to the thought and it just comes into my brain. I'm a trip at haunted houses. Like I invoke like whatever's there to come to me.
You're like a magnet.
But here in this apartment complex, it's keeping me up at night, and it's like why I'm I'm up right now. But it's great that I could have a release about it to you, of course. But
well, absolutely. Now, do you see anything in the future that would affect this planet on as a whole? Do you see anything like that yet?
Yeah, it's actually in an egg-shaped orbit around. I guess it is called formerly Planet Nibiru.
Okay. Like Planet X.
I have a feeling that a lot of the, we'll say, timetables have like come into a, like we'll say how you speak of Mayans, just of the same nature that was here. It's called the Destroyer. People, I just feel like a great crying.
What you do too is you're backing up Hopi prophecy as well, and also the Book of Revelation. So you know something might be up. Maybe it's time to do a Planet X show. We haven't done that in a long time. Well, thanks for the call, Blue Eyes. Let's go to Sugarland, Texas. Clayton on Coast to Coast. Hey, Clayton, welcome.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Okay.
I'm calling about 9/11 conspiracies. I had lost my friend in Flight 175, the second plane at the tower.
Sorry to hear.
And thank you. I just wanted to know what you thought about people, like the conspiracy people talking about how all the planes like were missiles. I wonder if you heard about that or.
Oh yeah, I've heard them all. I mean, there's the Pentagon crash is a little confusing because. You know, they really didn't find much there. That's intriguing. And they do have some video that they really haven't released to us. I wish they would. I don't know why they won't. That's disturbing. And one would only imagine what's going on. You know, and then there's these other theories that really have some credence to it. And that is how the buildings came down. Now, we know the planes crashed.
Definitely.
But they fell like they were imploded. And, you know, building something. I was just by Ground Zero just a few days ago in New York. They're starting to build that back up, but it's still an eerie place to be. You can feel it. And, you know, I'm questioning, how did Building 7, which did not get hit,
right,
how did that just collapse? Buildings just don't collapse. I'm looking at these buildings in New York Monday night and Tuesday. I mean, they're huge. They just don't collapse like that. And so, you know, with some of these conspiracy theories, there's some credence there. My particular take is that these crazed fundamentalists did the job. They were hired to do the job. They put it together. But I still think there were some people in government who knew what was happening, and they looked the other way, or they just didn't report it for purposes of greed and self-indulgence and everything else that's been going on. I do not subscribe to the theory that our government in total had anything to do with this, but I do think some within government were fully aware what these crazed fundamentalists were up to.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Thank you.
And you know what? I'll always believe that. Let's go to Katie in Wichita, Kansas. You're up with us. Hi, Katie. Go ahead.
Hi, George. I'm going to start off by telling you a little ghost story about a haunted bridge, and then I'm going to tell you what happened when I went there as a non-believer.
All right.
Back about 10 years ago. There's not much to do here in Wichita, Kansas. So all of us high school, college kids, we go to this place outside the city called Theorosis Bridge. And the legend goes like this. Theorosa, this is the mid-late 1800s. Theorosa was a Native American woman who had a child with a white settler, which was a big no-no back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
So she threw the child, baby, I guess you could say, over the bridge to hide her sin, so she wouldn't, so neither one of them would get in trouble.
Right.
And so, and then right after she did that, supposedly, she jumped off this little wooden bridge and killed herself. So the legend is, if you go out there in the middle of the night and you yell on top of the bridge, Theorosa, Theorosa, I have your baby. I have your child. Legend is that, like, you'll see a white image kind of coming to you. Well, I didn't really believe in the paranormal about 10 years ago when I was 20. And I went out there with a bunch of my friends.
Okay.
And I was kind of talking very impolitely to her, calling her some obscenities and, you know, just kind of
ridiculing,
making fun of it. Yeah. Because I thought it was ridiculous. And so nothing happened. We were out there about 20 minutes. We get in the car and we shut all the doors and all the windows are up. And all of a sudden, I'm wearing this leopard coat because it's kind of cold outside. And this is an important detail. I'll tell you why. The car is stopped. We're not even moving at all. We're on the bridge. And all of a sudden, there's a loud bang, thump from outside of the car on my side of my window. And then my whole body, like, pulls very violently towards the door inside the car. And we all kind of screamed. We're like, oh, my gosh, what was that? Well, I realized that my belt was hanging outside of a door. And it got pulled from the outside off of me. And then I really love this leopard coat, okay? So the next day I go there to find my missing belt. But where do I find it? Underneath the bridge next to two dead dogs.
Say, how did it get there? You cannot ridicule the spirits. Open lines continue. Our final shot, so give us your best shot when we come right back. Okay, don't forget, Saturday night, Ian Punnett. I'll be on Sunday with also first Sunday of the month, emerging artists from all over the place. So make sure you're listening to Coast AM, and we'll be back with final open line callers next on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, here we go. We'll go to Arcadia, California to get this segment started. Edward's with us. Hey, Edward, good morning to you.
Yes, good morning, George. How are you this morning?
Hey, Edward, good.
I just wanted to let you know that back in the 1970s, I was one of the original remote viewers that was tested during the time of Ingo Swann and Keith Harari.
You were? Now tell me, how did they find you? What happened?
Oh, actually, it was kind of a fluke. I was a teenager at the time, and I was showing significant psychical abilities that I wanted to be tested once and for all, and someone recommended I go to the American Society for Psychical Research. And that's where I was tested by Dr. Osis, who was the same Dr. Osis that tested Ingo and Keith.
Did you continue to refine that ability?
Oh, yes, very much so.
Yes.
It's interesting, you know, because, you know, we were talking about ghosts and spirits and such. I had one time a spontaneous remote viewing at that time period where I remote viewed into about the turn of the century, around, let's say, about the 1890s, New York City. And I could feel, you know, that, you know, like what many of the remote viewers have said, you know, when you have a full spectrum of remote viewing, you get the taste, smells, and feel of where you're located.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I had. But I was with this individual, apparently, in the 1890s. And I could feel the chill and coolness of the night, the quiet and everything else that went with it. And I remember the gentleman vividly. And I couldn't figure out why would I, you know, remote view this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So some decades later, the Paralogical Association around was celebrating their 50th anniversary. This was in 2007, in which they were rediscovering, re-recognizing the forgotten early parapsychologists and paranormal researchers of that time period. And they came across one of the people that they revered was a Dr. Rufus Osgood Mason. I went to check this out, and lo and behold, it was the photograph they had of the man was exactly what I remote viewed back in back decades earlier.
Amazing.
Well, what happened was I did some follow-up on it, and to my amazement, I had to do some background checks on my own, in which it turned out that my great-grandmother was Jessie Harriet Mason, who was a cousin to this Dr. Mason.
You're good. You're good. All right, thanks. Let's go to Lori in Knoxville, Tennessee. A sleepwalker. Lori, go ahead.
Hey.
Hi.
First, I want to say thanks for taking my call, and you are just so lovable, and I'm a little nervous, so I might fumble my words.
So are you sleepwalking as we speak?
Oh, no. I work nights.
<All right.
laughs> But I've always, like when I was a kid, I'd sleepwalk all the time, and sometimes it will coincide with my dreams. And my mom, I mean, I remember waking up on the front porch bawling because I thought she kicked me out. She said that I would periodically run away from home, and I'd pack my bags and leave, and I'd sleepwalk. Uh-huh. And finally, one night, she was like, well, I'll lock her out. That'll wake her up.
That's how you learn, right?
Oh, yeah. And then we started catching on. And, I mean, I would have dreams about people beating up my brother or whatever, and I would wake up, like, beating on the couch, you know, trying to defend my brother. And so sometimes it would like coincide, and it happened a lot when I was young. And as I've grown older, it doesn't happen as much, but now it's like every now and then I'll like wake up in front of the fridge, like not eating bonbons, but like those chocolate covered cherries or something in my sleep. And I'm just like,
when I was younger, if somebody tried to wake me up, I would always wake up swinging at them. It was weird. Do you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I punched my mom a couple times. She used to send my brother in because I'd swing. And they learned to, like, grab my feet and shake me and jump back or something, you know?
Well, now, do you still sleepwalk or are you done with that now?
Oh, no, I still do every now and then. It's just not nearly as often. And in the teenage years, it actually formed who I am because I'm pretty honest now. Because in my teenage years, you know, when you go out and you do things you're not supposed to or whatnot and sneak back in, my mom would come in and just sit down and just start talking to me. And I would sit up in bed and look at her and tell her everything I did. I always thought she was psychic. Because I was like, how does she know? The next morning, she'd always be like, so, did you have fun at blah, 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 you know, doing this, doing that, that you're not supposed to be doing? And I was just, I would always be like, how does she know?
Moms, Lori, always know.
Oh, I know, but she would come talk to me in my sleep, and I would sleep talk to her. And I would tell her everything I did.
They do
and
that
so it got me,
all the time.
Yeah, it got me in trouble, but it also made me very honest because I was like, well, I can't hide it, you know. If you're going to talk to me in my sleep, then I'll be honest there. I might as well be honest now, you know.
I love it. You know, there must be millions of sleepwalkers every night. Right now, probably listening to the show, sleepwalking. Tulsa, Oklahoma, it's Bob's turn. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, George, first-time caller, long-time listener,
right.
And I'm also a security guard, and you keep me awake. Thanks.
Super.
Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Calling about that lady that was giving money to these homeless kids.
Yes.
My daughter, her fiance lost his job and got kicked out of his apartment because he couldn't pay, and he moves in with us. Well, about a week later, he has a big fight with his ex-wife, and she tells him that she can't control the oldest daughter for him to come get her. And it's and they live in New Mexico.
Okay.
So he comes up and he says, I need $400 to go get my daughter.
Was he demanding it or kind of like asking?
No, he was asking. And my daughter put him up to it, but he says, I'll pay you back. I said, and I had $400 to spare. So I loaned it to him, supposedly. About a week later, I had a change of heart, and I said, well, you know, that $400 that I loaned you, I changed my mind. It's a gift. You don't have to pay me back.
Hmm.
You know, and I just give it to you.
Sure.
I invested in your daughter. You got your little daughter back, and she's a sweetheart, and she's a straight-A student and everything. But anyway, make a long story short, about a week later, I'm on my way to work in downtown Tulsa, and I park in the parking lot. It's a very small parking lot. It's about 30 cars. And I park on the end, and I open my truck door, and I look by the curb, and I see this bill. And it looks like a $100 bill, but I thought it was one of those tracks. You know, it's got money on one side, and it's got a gospel track on the other.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it resembled to me. So I jump out of my truck, and I pick it up, and I'm turning it over. I said, wow, this is a $100 bill. And I started scooping them up, and I found $1,000.
No.
Downtown Tulsa. Yes, downtown Tulsa at 3:30 in the evening when there's a lot of homeless walking around and people coming out of this building. I found $1,000 about a week after I give this man $400.
It comes back to you.
Yes, sir. What the Bible says, give and it shall be given to you. Press down, shaking together, running over.
You got it.
I thought that was a neat story about people wanting to give that they should give with, you know, without no reservations, and it'll come back to them.
It sure does. Thanks, Bob. Good story. Let's go to the Skype line. Tim is in San Bernardino, California. We'll check him out. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, George. Nice to, honored to talk to you.
You too.
You're
coming in loud and clear.
Okay, good. I had a sleepwalking, sleep experience. I have a couple of things I want to talk about, actually. But I went to go stay the night at my uncle's, right?
Yeah.
And I got there, and he wasn't, the doors were locked, and I couldn't stay the night. But I ended up sleeping on the porch. But I woke up, and I was driving back to my old apartment. So I was actually sleep driving instead of sleepwalking.
That's dangerous.
Yeah. But I was actually turning in, like I knew where I was going.
You know, a lot of people do this. I have driven on the highway before, and I can't remember how I got from point A to point B.
Autopilot?
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah. I know there was a stop sign back there, but did I stop?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, but another thing I want to touch on. There's a cure for shingles and eczema.
What?
I know a cure for shingles and eczema.
Yeah, what's the cure?
Well, my mom told me when she had her shingles, she went to like a clinic, and it wasn't her primary doctor, but it was, he had other patients that had shingles, and they got into a car accident. And when they got bad bruises on their body, their shingles went away, like the day after. So what he did was give her a pharmaceutical bruise. He took 5 cc's of her own blood out of her right arm.
All right.
And put it for her left hip.
Her own blood.
Her own blood.
And it worked.
Out of her, and it put into her left hip, it cleared up overnight.
That's strange. Never heard of that. Shingles, of course, it's that nerve type, that nerve thing. And I guess for a lot of people who are afflicted with that, that really hurts. All right, thanks. That's new. Never heard that before. Let's go next to Sandra in Morgantown, West Virginia, east of the Rockies. Go ahead, Sandra.
Hi, George. I have a story to tell you, and I've made people cry with it, but in the end, it's uplifting.
All right, well, a couple minutes for you. Go ahead.
Okay. In 2006, I became homeless, and I ended up in a homeless shelter, and I was there about 6 months. When I left with a man I met there, and we got married, and then I was appointed to the board of directors of the homeless shelter. And we collectively, my husband and I, have spent a lot of time giving back to this homeless shelter because they put us back on our feet.
Good for you.
My husband works for a property management company that has, 1,300 apartments or something like that. And they have to get the dumpsters all the time. And my husband finds all kinds of things in his dumpsters. We live in a college town, and the students throw things away you would not believe.
So you're able to give to the people, yeah.
Yes, we clean them up and take it down to the homeless shelter or to another place called Christian Help, and we give it back. And our house, our apartment is furnished from things my husband has found.
Yeah.
But what I want to say is you get it back. You know,
there's no doubt. I believe that, Sandra, all my life.
When you give to others, you get it back.
As long as you're giving with the intent not to get something back, you will get something back.
Yes, we don't intend to get anything back. My husband even found a 32-inch flat panel TV in the box with papers.
You're kidding.
No.
Who would throw that away?
Who knows? Somebody threw it away. Because when we brought it home and plugged it in, it would run for a little while and then it would just shut off. So we took it to a repair place to find out if it was worth fixing.
I bet it was.
It cost us $200 to fix it.
That's
and
okay.
At the time, this exact same TV was selling for about $600.
It was amazing what's come down, by the way. The prices of those flat screens have plummeted, but more new ones are coming. But they're still a good buy. I want to tell you a little bit of what's in store for the rest of the week, by the way. So as I mentioned, Ian Punnett's going to be on Saturday. I'll be on Sunday with two special guests along with our emerging artists. And then on Monday, Split Show, Robert Zimmerman joins us. Robert Zubrin joins us. We're going to talk about all things in space, a little UFO and extraterrestrials on Tuesday. Kevin Warwick joins us on Wednesday. He's coming back because we had a guest or two talking about him 3 weeks ago. He's the person. He's the human cyborg. He's got all these things going on in his system. And then on Thursday, we'll be talking with the Journeys to the Afterlife. And then back again Friday with Open Lines with a special guest, the Hollywood film director, Herschel Gordon Lewis, joining us as we talk about his work as the godfather of gore. Here's our buddy, UFO Phil.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden. And I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling. Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware. But now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid, but as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening. Your voice is always welcome here on my radio. Call in with your space transmitter or your telephone. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast.
For Dan Galante, Jason King, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe.